Fall, Wooster, Battle Creek, Michigan, October 10th, 1874. Brother, Wooster, Ball. I received your letter after my return from our last camp meeting. You speak of a sister Sawyer, also Travers, that made statements in reference to me. These statements are certainly false. I have never been shown in vision any definite time in regard to the coming of the Lord, but have borne a universal testimony that there would be no definite time given for the people of God in regard to the time of Christ's coming. Mrs. Travers' statement is wholly incorrect without the semblance of truth. Mrs. Burdick's statement in the crisis is false. I dare not accuse her of telling a willful lie, but I think she has heard these things and repeated them until she thinks them facts. I have no hesitancy in saying they are untrue. You will, in time, see that we shall take up these things. Why we have not done it sooner is that the importance of the work, together with my husband's feebleness, has hindered us from doing so. We have been pressed from point to point in our labor to forward the work, and have felt that our cause was in the hands of a good, wise, and just God. We could let it safely rest there until His providence should open the way and give us time to attend to the false statements made in reference to us, without leaving the work that needed present attention. I have now many briefly made statements sent to California for Brother Loughborough to use at the camp meeting, and to return to me to be more fully and explicitly carried out for publication. There is continually circulated the basest falsehoods which proceed from the First Day Adventists, so ridiculous that should I attempt to notice 1/10 of them, it would take all my time. I am advised to stop these slanderous reports without one particle of foundation by prosecuting one or two of the most bold, Mrs. Burdick, for instance. I was for a short time tempted to do something of the kind after reading The Crisis, wherein I was so grossly misrepresented and suspicion thrown upon my character. But reflection and prayer changed my feelings and purposes. I thought of our suffering Redeemer, what He bore from the Jews, from both Pharisees and Sadducees. I decided I was much inferior to my dear suffering Savior, that I need not expect any better portion than He had. I have peace of mind which passeth knowledge, notwithstanding the most inconsistent falsehoods are repeated from the pulpits by First Day Adventists to their congregations in reference to me. These things cannot be stopped. This is the war against the testimonies. The Lord can take care of the results. I have no hard feelings against you. You may take what course you will. I shall leave you and your doings with the Lord. I do have great and tender love for children in the gospel. Your son and his wife are near to me. I would do anything for them in my power to relieve them of sorrow and pain if I could. I told the superintendent of the Health Institute, also the directors and physicians, to do all that was in their power for your son and his wife. Your son's board and treatment, should he need anything, might charge to my account. In regard to yourself, I wish you were altogether in the light, seeing all things clearly. This would give me great joy. But, Brother Ball, I certainly could wish your pen to trace only that which would tell to the furtherance of the truth and advancement of the cause of God. But I do not tremble at any revelations you can make. Our lives, our deportment, our teaching have been open. Nothing has been done in a corner, or through strife or vain glory. But we have given our lives to God and to advance His cause. We have not studied ease or shunned reproach, and in the promises of God we rest our cases, most entirely and fully. This is the Lord's work, and in His providence we have acted a most prominent part in its advancement. But the men who are trampling on the law of God, when every argument fails, then their last resort is my poor self. They hold me up to ridicule and make me out to be a bundle of inconsistencies, a Jezebel, a demon, a sorceress, and they try to intimidate the people. But if this work is of God, it cannot be put down. It will advance and triumph in spite of every opposing influence. If it be not of God, it will come to naught. I have gotten above feeling annoyed, as far as my name is concerned, over the vile slander and falsehoods issued against me. God can take care of you and your pen, Brother Ball, that you can say nothing against the truth to hinder its advancement. The very things that you may say, which you think will overwhelm us, may only give us greater access to the hearts of the truly honest. I state positively, I was not a participator or originator of the fanaticism in Maine. I stood decidedly and firmly opposed to the same from its rise. I never could be induced to creep a particle, on any aspect or under any circumstances, as a religious duty. False visions were brought to bear against me, purporting to be messages from God, that I must humble myself to creep. But I withstood this from the first. Men and women, I have learned in my experience, who trample on God's law, can go to great lengths in falsehood and iniquity, and yet make great pretensions to sanctity and holiness. We must all stand the test of the judgment. Then every man's work will be proved, and we shall receive according to the deeds done in the body, whether they be good or whether they be evil. I might say much more, but I do not think anything I may say will help your view of matters. God alone can help your case, and I leave you and your dear wife and precious children with Him. I leave my husband and myself with Him. But a word in regard to my husband. Whatever may be your views and the impressions received from reports in regard to my husband, I would say he has not one particle of dishonesty in his composition. The books in the office and all who know him best will bear an unequivocal testimony in this respect. Even washwomen of the world he would pay more than their usual price. The widow and the fatherless have ever found in him a friend. They will testify. In regard to my leaving the meeting at Lancaster, I know of no occasion when I left the meeting, driving out because of my husband's severe censuring or hard talk. I left the meetings there several times in the evening because simply I could not stay longer. I ought not to have gone at all, but my interest for the truth leads me to sometimes tax my strength beyond reason. I did leave the meetings for private reasons of my own, which had to do with myself, which forbid my staying any longer. My husband is strictly honest. He would make any and every sacrifice for the truth's sake. In regard to Elder Loughborough's reports, he has felt the injustice of this and made everything satisfactory, but continues to condemn himself for the feelings he had while under a deception. We love Elder Loughborough just as well as though he had never felt or done wrong toward us. We are in perfect harmony with Elders Wagoner, Smith, Andrews, and all the ministers. We have been called out to deal plainly. This has been an unpleasant work. All the prophets of old were obliged to meet prejudice and hatred because they dealt plainly. Even Moses was accused of a design in leading the children of Israel from Egypt to enrich himself. We are preparing for anything. We do not expect peace in the world. Says Christ to his disciples, "In the world ye shall have tribulation, but in me ye shall have peace." John 16, verse 33. We expect anything. Satan lives, and he is at work to hinder and hedge up the way of God's servants. But a mightier than Satan has charge of the field, and in him we trust. The captain of our salvation knows just how to defeat every purpose of Satan. He will be our defense. In love and haste.